The rest of the story. Arthur awakened in his little hotel room as every morning, crushed, despondent. The dream from which he had awakened as every morning had been a happy vision of a perfect life. The theme varied, but always in those dreams, Arthur was wealthy, successful, sought after. A pitiable contrast to the misery his waking world had become. He'd spent all but pennies of what little money he had. Angry notes from the hotel manager requesting payment or else had been stuffed daily under his door. So with sharp pangs of hunger twisting his stomach and his brain, he set himself to pondering whom he might call for help. And when no name occurred to him, Arthur deliberately and solemnly turned his thoughts to what seemed the only solution remaining, suicide. It would be time now, he thought, to take his own life. Now, how to do it? He had no gun, no poison, no means of procuring either. He might hurl himself from the hotel window, but might just as easily survive as a cripple. And yet, as he revolved these dwindling options in his mind, his gaze fell on the bathrobe hanging on a clothing hook just inside the bathroom. And then he realized the robe had a belt. The hook was sturdy and mounted just high enough to suspend Arthur himself above the floor. Everything was suddenly very clear. He would place a chair beneath the clothing hook. He would make a loop in one end of the belt, secure it with a knot. He would fasten the other end of the belt to the hook and slip the noose around his neck. Then he would kick the chair out from under himself. Soon it would be over, Arthur thought to himself. The failure, the despair, the loneliness, the pain would be all gone. He went into the bathroom, prepared everything as he had envisioned it. For long moments he stood there on the chair. And then Arthur closed his eyes. Letting his weight down, he shoved the chair aside with one foot. The noose tightened around his neck. But at once, the cloth belt ripped apart. The belt ripped apart, sending Arthur sprawling to the bathroom floor. Even in this, his parting gesture, he had failed. Suddenly impressed with that fact, Arthur slumped face down on the cold tile, bitterly, uncontrollably weeping. But a strange thing happened. After recovering from that interminable convulsion of anguish and self-pity, Arthur got up and got dressed, and he went out onto the street, and for some strange, inexplicable reason, everything, the trees, the buildings, the passers-by, everything seemed beautiful. Everything seemed brand new. The world made perfect sense now, somehow. Life was wonderful. Life was worth living. And Arthur, perhaps for the very first time in his 21 years, really, truly, passionately loved life. Borrowing enough money to relieve his current predicament, he returned home. The career he'd thought was finished was not even begun. When death finally gently discovered him at nearly 100 years of age, it was after a lifetime of fulfillment even more spectacular than he had dreamed in that dismal hotel room in Berlin. Musicians and music lovers for generations would thrill to the incomparable craftsmanship of an inimitable concert pianist known the world over as Arthur Rubinstein. And he lives on to this day in hundreds of priceless recordings of Chopin, Schumann, Beethoven, Brahms. But now, whenever you hear his name, you will recall the afternoon when everything he had to offer literally hung by a thread. And the thread broke. Because now you know the rest of the story.